morning in the book of Ruth. And so if you would turn there, and we will be in Ruth chapter number 3. Just a small little book here in the first portions of the scripture. Not very far over in the Bible, you'll find this book by the name of Ruth. And we have looked in chapter 1 and chapter number 2. And this morning we will be dealing in chapter number 3. Now we have, I think this is the fourth message in this little small book. And really and truly, if you did justice to this and look at this scripture or these scriptures every way possible, you would have multiple messages, not just one per chapter. We're just sort of skimming the high parts and looking at that. But there are many, many details in this little book called Ruth that you have to look back in some of the traditions of Israel to understand it. And this morning in chapter 3, that's one of those chapters that our Western mind does not comprehend some of the things that are given to us that are customs of the Jew and also Oriental customs of the East. Our societies are different. We look at things different. We do things different. And the book of Ruth is a book that reveals to us some of the things that God told Israel, how they could continue to prosper and how they can continue their family and their properties and everything that the Lord had given them. And it's far different than what we do in our world, but it gives us a view into how the Lord takes care of his people. And so we continue this morning in this, what I've called a love story, between this woman called Ruth and this man by the name of Boaz. In the first couple of messages, we dealt with the failure of a family that lived in Bethlehem, Judah. Bethlehem, Judah is interpreted, and by interpretation just simply means the house of bread or a house of supply. And they lived in Bethlehem, Judah, but there was a famine there. And as we looked at that, the famine made this family begin to doubt and begin to realize, if we're going to survive, humanly speaking, then we're going to have to go somewhere where there is bread, somewhere where there is food. And so chapter number 1 is a chapter that gives you a lot of the details about this family and their failure and how they left Bethlehem, Judah, and went to Moab. We studied that Moab is a land that's not very far from Judah. It's just probably at the farthest point might be 50 miles. And that to you and I doesn't seem like a very far distance. Some have traveled almost 50 miles to get here this morning. But when Naomi and her husband Elimelech and her two boys, Mahlon and Chilion, when they left Bethlehem, it probably took them maybe 2 weeks to get to Moab. It wasn't a far distance. It wasn't a long ways. And there they were continuing to stay in that land when they went there just to sojourn. We looked at the difference between the word sojourn and the word continue. If you are a sojourner, that means you're traveling through. If you continue, that means you stop and you're there for a period of time. The Bible tells us in chapter 1 that this family, when they went to Moab, they went there and they spent at least 10 years, and probably a little longer than that. And they were there for that period of time in order to supply the very needs of their life and to be able to live and to be able to, in their thought process, the only way they could survive is to take this into my hand and do this in order that I can have food and I can have bread to eat. We realize that they got out of the will of the Lord, for when they came back, or when one came back that had left, Naomi, she said, "The Lord hath dealt bitterly with me. For in that land of Moab, her husband Elimelech died." The scripture tells us that he died there at that 10-year period. It also tells us that her two sons went and married two women of Moab. We looked in the scripture, we find that that was against the principle that God had given. The people of Moab were descendants of Lot and the incest that he had with his daughter. And they had she had a son by the name of Moab. And so the people of Moab was a result of sin. And they were to never come into the congregation of the Jew. And so they went there and they broke the law of God. They broke the message that God had given. And so these two young men marry young daughters of Moab. The scripture goes on and tells us that those two sons died. Now here in Moab now, there are three widows. You have Naomi, you have Orpah, and you have Ruth. We thought that, we found that, we believe that Naomi was certainly out of the will of God and was backslidden upon the Lord, for she tried her best to make Ruth and Orpah stay where they were, and she encourages them, go back to the gods of your fathers. Well, Orpah listened to her, and she goes back, but Ruth says, I'm not going back to where I was. And she makes the statement there in chapter 1, verse 14, 15, 16, there in that area, and she says, your God shall be my God, your land shall be my land, your people will be my people. Where you dwell, I'm going to dwell. And where you die, I'm going to die. So Ruth makes a confession that I'm going to go back with you. Well, they go back. Here's two widows now that come back into Bethlehem, Judah. They're in chapter, all this is in chapter 1. That's the foundation. And we find they come back, and when they enter into the gates of Bethlehem, Judah, the people of the city says, is this Naomi? You see, we found that Naomi's name means pleasant. She was a pleasant personality. And when she comes back after 10, 12 years being outside of the will of God, she comes back and they are even shocked at how she looked. And they said, her countenance has changed. Is this really Naomi? And she says, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. Of course, we know we found that the word Mara means bitter. Her name means pleasant. She says, don't call me pleasant. I'm not pleasant any longer. I've suffered the tragedies of the loss of my husband and my two sons. I've suffered greatly. And she says, the Almighty hath afflicted me. And the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. And she comes back with this young girl, Ruth, and they have to somehow survive. In chapter number 2, we find that Ruth goes out in order to just survive and to live. She goes out into the fields in order to glean the harvest. The Bible tells us that they come back at the time of barley harvest. They're beginning to harvest their barley. They're beginning to harvest their wheat. They're beginning to get the grain in from the field. And Israel, the Jew, had a method of leaving things in the field for people that had great need. If you look in the book of Deuteronomy, I believe it's chapter 23 or 24, there are some people that are listed there, and God commands the Israelites, when they go through the field and they gather their grain, they are not to go back and to gather what's left behind, because that is left for the strangers, for the widows, and the foreigners. Now, Ruth was a stranger, she was a foreigner, and she was a widow. She had every right to go into that field and together, and the Bible calls it glean that which is left. And she goes into the field of a man by the name of Boaz. Boaz, the Bible tells us, is kin to the husband of Naomi. He is a near kinsman to Elimelech, Naomi's husband that died in Moab. And so she gets in his field, and he becomes aware of her. And in chapter number 2, Ruth is called by 3 different names by this man, Boaz. In verse number 6, he sees her in his field, and he says, who is that damsel? Who is that one that's in my field? That's in verse number 6. In verse number 8, he calls her a daughter. In verse number 14, he makes her and invites her to become a diner at his table. So you see the progression here. When she was a damsel, she was just an acquaintance of, he wanted to know who she was. And when she became a daughter, we find that she was awarded. She was more than just an acquaintance. Now she's a daughter. She's awarded a welcome into his family. A daughter is that family relationship. I have a daughter. Some of you have daughters. You have children. That's a relationship that we have. And so Boaz, he recognizes her and just wants to be acquainted. Later on, he calls her his daughter, and he calls her that a number of times. And then verse 14, he lets her and encourages her to sit at his table. That means she is accepted in his family. And we see the progression here of being just an acquaintance. Now I'm accepted. Thank God one day you and I, we were acquainted with God, but there came a time when we were accepted of the Lord, and he made us a new creature in Christ Jesus. The book of Ruth, you can typify it out all the way down, is a perfect picture of a life of an individual that comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 3 this morning, this love story continues, and it is a story of grace. We find this morning that the grace will become fulfilled in this young lady by the name of Ruth. She's in Boaz's field. She's a gleaner. She is the one that has a kinsman redeemer that she was not aware of for a while. But when she became aware and when she understood, then she makes a move toward this man, Boaz. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 25, I want to read a couple of verses. You don't have to turn there, but this is what the Scripture gives, a part of the law of Moses. It says, if brethren dwell together, and one of them die, and have no child, the wife of the dead shall marry without unto a stranger. Shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her, and take her to him to wife, and perform the duty of her husband's brother unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn which beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother which is dead. That is the name, be not put out, of Israel. This is part of the law of a kinsman redeemer. If a lady marries a man and he dies, then the responsibility to that lady falls upon a near kinsman. And he is to take her as his wife and to provide that individual, that person, a child, so that his near kinsman that has died, that his line or his lineage go on. You know why that was so very important in the land of Israel? Because every one of those young girls and every one of those families that came together to have children, they were always desiring that they have a man-child, because they are desiring in their heart, they know that somewhere in history, God is going to provide a sacrifice. God is going to give, as Abraham told Isaac, God will provide himself a sacrifice. And they're all desiring, they're all hoping that maybe this child that's in the womb of this lady would be that child that would be a deliverer to the people of Israel. And so this is why they were so involved and so much pressure to them that they have man-child. Deuteronomy gives us the complete system of this kinsman redeemer and his obligation. Now Naomi, being out of the family of a Jew, Naomi being from her city, she knew this particular thing, and she later communicates it to Ruth. There is a kinsman near unto the family, and there is one that is unnamed, and we'll look at him more next week, and then there is one that is named, and his name is Boaz. Naomi may have known about this other man that was not able or would not, and so she doesn't even mention him. She immediately mentions Boaz. And so we find when Ruth is in the field gleaning, in chapter number 2, Boaz tells his reapers, he said, "You leave some grain, you leave it there on purpose," there in verse number 16 of chapter 2. "And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them and rebuke her not." So she gleaned in the field unto even, and beat out that which she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. If you look at what an ephah is, it's just a little bit over what we call a bushel. And so in that day's work, she gathered up a bushel of grain. And this was an amount that was used in order to make bread, in order to live, in order to survive. And one ephah was normally equal to about 10 days of food for an individual. So in that one day, she gleans out an amount that would supply her for a period of time. Now notice in verse number 18 of chapter 2, "And she took it up and went unto the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed," or after she was satisfied. "And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, "The man's name of whom I wrought today is Boaz." She said, "I went to Boaz's field and he treated me right. He did this on purpose to me." Verse number 20, and we'll get to chapter 3 here. This is all part of our introduction to get caught up. Verse number 20, "Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, This man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." So Naomi reveals to Ruth, "You're gleaning in the field of a kinsman of Elimelech, possibly a brother's son, possibly even a brother." And so we find here that she recognized it, and verse number 23, "And so she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law." So as long as there was grain, she went back to that field of Boaz. Now chapter 3, verse 1. "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz our kindred, and whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor." The word winnoweth, if you look that up, it's you beat out the grain, you beat out the chaff, the excess, and you take the grain, you take all of it together, you throw it up in the air, and the wind blows the chaff away, and what falls down is the grain that is kept. And so Boaz is busy taking care of the crop that his gleaners, his damsels, his workers, his maidens had gone out and gathered for him. He is busy now taking care of that, and Naomi knows that. And she says here in verse number 3, "Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And as shall be when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do." Now these verses that we've just read is a Oriental Jewish custom of how they introduced themselves. There's nothing vulgar, there's nothing wrong, there's everything pure and holy in what Naomi tells Ruth to do. This is where our Western thought gets us in trouble. And so Naomi says, "You go down." Naomi becomes now the instructor. She becomes the pusher. She becomes the one that gives encouragement to Ruth to go down and really get acquainted with this man by the name of Boaz, because he's a kinsman. Naomi knew that he could take care of what the need was in Ruth's life. He's unmarried. He has a crop. He has a land. He has ability. And so she tells her to go down and you do this process that we'll look at in a moment. And verse number 5, Ruth says, "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." Naomi is a person, is a type and a personality here in these verses of the Holy Spirit. There's not a one of us in here this morning that has ever got saved that, first of all, the Holy Spirit did not instruct us and did not tell us and did not push us toward our Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Holy Spirit's work to convict us of our sin. It's not the work of the preacher. It's not the work of a soul winner. It's not the work of an individual to tell you how wicked and bad you are, but it is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that shows us who we are and what we are and how much we need deliverance, and they needed deliverance. And so we find here that she instructs, as a type of the Holy Spirit, this young lady by the name of Ruth, "Go down and you meet Boaz, and here's the way that you do it." The leadership here of Naomi, she takes up this type of the Holy Spirit. Boaz is a type of Christ. Ruth is a type of a sinner that becomes the bride of Boaz. And of course, we know the New Testament tells us that the bride of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, is the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ in relationship. And so here we find that Naomi tells her to do 5 things. She says, number 1, in verse number 3, most of these are in verse number 3. First of all, you wash thyself. Take care of yourself physically. Spiritually, on the spiritual side, the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians that we are washed by the cleansing power of the Word of God. So Naomi tells her, you've come out of the field, you go wash yourself. Second thing, she says, anoint thee. Put on something that will draw attention to you. I'm sure all of us maybe remember, maybe a long time ago, but we maybe remember how we tried to draw the one we're interested in. We wanted them to be attention upon us. We didn't want attention on somebody else. We wanted their attention upon us. And Naomi tells Ruth that you go wash yourself and you just smell good. You wonder why so much is involved in perfumes and things like that for ladies. They want us to be drawn to their attention. And so this is what Naomi tells this young lady by the name of Ruth. You wash thyself, anoint thee, verse number 3, put thy raiment on, put on the clothes, the garments that are given to you. It's not here the garment of salvation, but now it's a garment of appeal and separation unto him. In verse number 3 and 4, she says, you go down to the floor, you mark the place where he shall lie. Make sure you mark the place where he's going to lie, because you're going to go there also. And so they're down there taking care of the crop and the harvest, and she tells us that you clean up, you go, you put your raiment on, you go down, mark where Boaz is going to spend the night. What was he doing there spending the night? He was protecting his grain, his crop, his food, his livelihood from those that would maybe steal. Make sure you're at the right place. Verse number 4, she says, humble thyself. By doing that, how that is done, he says, you go in, you uncover his feet, and you lay down at his feet. The Oriental custom was when people would go into the crop fields and they would get the grain and they would winnow it, they would take care of it, and they would gather, and when barley harvest or wheat harvest was all over, they would have a festival, and that's what they were doing here. She said, don't make yourself known until he's finished with the festival. And you go down and you lay at his feet. Boaz would be laying one way, and she would be at his feet laying crossways. That was the tradition. We don't understand that. We have no mental comprehension of why would they do that. But Naomi knew the process that had been given, and so she tells this Moabitess girl that has no idea what's going on. She had the same thought process as you and I do. We don't know. And so she explains to her. She tells her. And that's what the Holy Spirit does to us. He explains to us. He opens our understanding. He opens our eyes. He opens our heart. And then we realize that we do have one that can take care of us. We do have one that can provide for us. And so she tells her these 5 things. You go in, uncover his feet, lay thee down, and this is in accordance to the law of the kinsman redeemer. Nothing is wrong and nothing is sensual, nothing is vulgar. This is their way of life. Verse number 5, Ruth, the lady here, is very obedient. And she just simply says, all that thou sayest unto me will I do. Here's a willing recipient of the grace of God. Lord, whatever you tell me. On the road to Damascus, Paul said, whatever thou hast me to do, I'll do it. You and I, one day we came to realize our lost condition. We said, I'll believe upon him. I'll do whatever he tells me to do. I'll believe. You know what happens? We get saved. Thank the Lord. And so here, Ruth, she becomes obedient. She said, I'll do all that I'm told to do. She came in softly. The scripture tells us, look at verse number 6, and she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bid her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lay down at the end of the heap of corn. There, that's protection. And she came softly. She came very quietly and uncovered his feet and lay her down. She did exactly what Naomi told her to do. Now let's look at this midnight meeting, the midnight hour. Verse number 8. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. That'd make any man afraid. A woman lay at his feet. He didn't know she was there. She came in quietly, softly. And the Bible says she uncovered his feet. And she lays down. at midnight, he wakes up. And notice here what he says. And that would be the question, I guess, of all of us. Verse number 9. And he said, "Who art thou?" Who are you? So he asked the question, desiring to know what's taking place, what's going on. And he turned and saw her, "Who art thou?" And she answered, notice here her answer, "I am Ruth, thy handmaid. I'm your servant." What are we, you and I, this morning? We are the servants of the Lord. She said, "I am Ruth." She did not say here, "I'm Ruth, the Moabitess." That's what she's been called and is called five times in the book of Ruth. Ruth the Moabitess, that identifies her with a wicked, ungodly society. And she didn't answer him that way. She did not say, "I'm Ruth, the stranger." She didn't even say, "I'm that damsel you ask about back there in chapter number 1 or 2. She just simply said, "I am your handmaid." And she says here, "Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." I looked at this. I worked on this hours yesterday. I'd work a while and stop a while. And read things, read people, read the different verses. And what she is doing here, literally, and again, our thought process doesn't comprehend it. When she says about the skirt or the covering, what she is really doing, she is asking Boaz to marry her. She is, and that you can read it in other places of the scripture. The word skirt there is a word that comes from a word kanaf. And it's translated other places the wing. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 12, that same word is translated wing. You know what that means? It's a covering, a protection. She is asking Boaz, "Will you be my protector?" Well, thank God this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ is our protector. Amen. He is that one. And here she is, and we find that she doesn't use a word that is not familiar to Boaz, not familiar to the Jew. She is saying, "I want you to provide for me." In the book of Ezekiel, if you don't want to turn there, at least put this verse down and read it later. Ezekiel 16, verse number 8. This is God talking to Israel. The whole passage, the whole chapter needs really to be read. And he says, "Now when I passed by thee, I looked upon thee. Behold, thy time was the time of love." This is God speaking to Israel. And then the next statement that the Lord puts here, "And I spread my skirt," same word, kanaf, "over thee, and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine." That little phrase, "spread thy skirt," is a covering, a wing. God said, "When I looked at you, I saw who you were." And if you read all that chapter there in Ezekiel, you'll find out God's, when he looked at them, he didn't find anything good. Only wickedness and ungodliness and dirtiness. But yet he covered that with his wing. When the Lord Jesus Christ and when God looked at me and you, when God saw us before salvation, you know what he saw? He saw putrefying sores. He saw ungodliness. He saw wickedness. He saw dirtiness. But yet he was still willing to cover us with his wing. And so, when Ruth speaks to Boaz, Boaz knew exactly what she was doing. She said, I'm Ruth, I'm your handmaid. Now, spread your skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. He knew what she was saying. She is saying, you can redeem me if you will. You can marry me if you want to do that. You are a near kinsman. You're in the line to be able to take care of me. And so literally Ruth was proposing what we would call a proposal of marriage to this man Boaz. And she said, here's why. You're kin to me. You're a near kinsman. And Boaz, being a Jew, being of the family of Elimelech, being of Bethlehem, Judah, he knew what a kinsman redeemer position was, and that was to take care of his brother's wife, that one that had been lost. The brother there, not necessarily brother as we think of, but in the family. And so Ruth had a perfect right. Look at verse number 11. He says, and now my daughter, fear not. We say, will you say, I do? He says, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. She said, will you marry me? Western talk. He said, yes, I will. I'll do all that thou requirest. Beautiful picture of our association and our kinship with the Lord. Fear not, I will do to thee all thou requirest. Ruth had that perfect right according to the law of Moses and to Oriental custom to make this proposal to Boaz that she might preserve a genealogy, that she might preserve and reclaim a mortgaged estate of Elimelech. It's pretty obvious as we read through the book of Ruth that Elimelech and Naomi sold their possession and their land unto another person, and now they're a debtor. It has to be redeemed for them to have that again in their life. Again, that's a part of the law of Moses. And so Ruth now, as she has married this son of Naomi and Elimelech, she has every right. You're a kinsman redeemer, and I want you to redeem me. She already knew she caught his eye because he left handfuls on purpose. He did things special for her that didn't do for anybody else. What does that tell us? He's done looking at her. Whose damsel's that? That's what he asked. Who is that that's in my field? I haven't seen her before. All of a sudden, his attention is gained by this young girl by the name of Ruth, the Moabitess. Not supposed to be there, but she's there. We maybe are not supposed to be where we are spiritually, but thank God, through our Boaz, Jesus Christ, we're there. He saved us. And so now we find that he says, whatever you have asked, I'll take care of the requirement. Look at verse number 10 and 11. Tells us that he blessed her. Look at verse number 12. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Oh, but look at that next word. Howbeit. We would, in our language, we'd say, yeah, I'm kin to you, but there's a problem. Can you imagine how she must have felt? For Naomi had not told her this other part of the story. Boaz knows it, knows what he says. I am a near kinsman, howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. There's somebody closer to you, Ruth, than I am. I'm kin to you. I'm a kinsman. I can do this, but there's somebody else ahead of me. And according to the law of Moses, he has to be the one that's offered. So here's the problem. I am kin, but there's somebody else. And he just leaves it off there. He tells her in verse number 13 now. He says, tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he be, but if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. When the morning comes, it'll be all right. We sing songs about the morning. The Bible says we may be in the darkness of the night, but thank God the morning cometh. We sing the song when the morning comes. We sing the songs about the time that we one day shall see our Lord. And it's always in the morning. And so he tells her, said, you lay down, and in the morning, really what he's saying, it'll be okay. And she lay down, verse number 14, and she lay down at his feet until the morning. She rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. And he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee. That veil is a covering. And he says, and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. And she went unto the city. And when she came unto her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? Now, Naomi knew who she was. And Ruth comes to Naomi and she said, who are you? I read and read and read, and I think I found it. And you read the layout of it, what it is. What Naomi is asking Ruth, let me put it in our language, did he accept your proposal? Who are you? Are you still Ruth the Moabitess? Are you Ruth the handmaid, the servant? Who are we this morning? We're from a land that knows not God, the land of sin. And thank God one day we came to Him. Whose are we now? Who are we? We're not a sinner. We're a saint. And so, Naomi, that had been so far away from God, now understands what's taking place. And she said, who art thou, my daughter? And notice the answer. And she told her all that the man had done to her. She didn't say who she was. She said, let me tell you what he did. Let me tell you how he took care of it. Who am I? What's my position now? Let me tell you what he said. He said he'd do everything I ask. She told Naomi, everything's well. Everything's good. And then she goes on. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me. For he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Let me reward you. Let me give you something. If you can find the answer to this, I wish somebody would. I don't know how much 6 measures were. I have no idea. I looked and looked and read and read. And I Googled it. I'd done everything. I went to my books. I don't know what that measure. I don't know how much that 6 measures were, but you know what? It was sufficient. She toiled. She worked for an ephah, 1 bushel, and he gave her 6 measures. If you'll notice, the word "measure" there is italicized. That means there's no word there in the original language. He gave her 6, and the translators put in the word "measure." That's why we don't know how much it was. You just let me dream on. I think he gave her 6 times as much what she had that she worked for. She worked for an ephah, and he gave her 6 measures. An ephah was a measure. It was what they went by. And he gave her that just simply for waiting, just simply for being in the right position. at His feet. Wonderful picture and love story. Verse 18. Then said she, this is Naomi talking, said, still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. Patience. I sort of think Ruth was all excited when she got back to Naomi. I think her heart was bubbling. I think she was excited. When Cody asked you to marry, was you excited? Sure you were. All of us excited. And I believe she was just as excited as we can imagine. And she comes back all bubbly to Naomi. And this is what he did. This is what he said. This is what he's going to do. And Naomi said, settle down. Just sit still till we know the full story. For you know, Naomi knew there's somebody else that might possibly be able to be the Redeemer. He's a Redeemer that cannot. And we'll get into that next week. But here we find, and Ruth is told to sit still and just wait. Notice the last thing here. Until he have finished the thing this day. He's not going to tarry. You wait. He's going to be busy. Chapter 4 gives his busyness. You just sit here and wait, for he's going to be busy today. He's going to be taking care of all this that he told you he would do. Three requirements of a kinsman redeemer. Had to be kin, had to be able financially, had to be willing in the head and the heart. There was a nearer kinsman. He had to be willing. He had to be able also. And this near kinsman, he was not willing. We'll read that, and I'm not going to give too much. He was not willing. He could do part of it, but he couldn't do it all. Well, I thank God religion can do some things, but only Jesus Christ can do it all. Only the Lord can take care of my heart need. Only God can handle my problem. So the book of Ruth, I hope, will maybe come to life a little bit better as you read it some other time. And again, we just barely touched it and not got into any depth, but just the typology and the story of this family departs from God, suffers loss, comes back to where they should have stayed, and God blesses them. That's the picture of what God does for you and I. We get away from God, do things we shouldn't do. We come back to the Lord, you know what He does? He blesses us. He helps us. He provides for us. And the Bible says that He spreads out His skirt. Other places, we are under His what? He protects us. He helps us. And I pray God help us to live for Him until He comes, like Boaz will come next week and deliver this young lady by the name of Ruth. Let's stand together this morning.